T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Game day. Raiders at Chiefs. That's what it's all about, people. This is going to decide the AFC. This is going to decide the AFC West. This is going to decide the playoffs, bye week positioning, you name it. This is what you live for as a football fan. So instead of screwing around, we're going to get right to Marcus Allen after this update.
And it starts in the NBA, Joe. The Warriors handle the Clippers. The final, 115-98. Klay Thompson, 24. Draymond Green had 22. The ball zipping all across the court.
Durant finds Klay Thompson on the right sideline. He'll stop, dumped it down to Zaza. Zaza doesn't look. Backdoor bounce to Klay, to Draymond. Draymond to Zaza, to Durant up top. That's a three. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable ball movement by the Golden State Warriors. And it ends up with a three to make it 78-54. That was special right there.
Tim Roy the call here on 95.7 The Game. The Dubs not at their best, Joe, but they sure were efficient last night. More than 30 assists yet again.
Steph Curry 0-for-8 from 3. Kevin Durant, his second lowest point output of the season. You're on the road. It's one of the best teams in your conference, and they've had 2 days of rest to get ready for you, and you still won by 17 points. I don't know who's going to stop this team this year, if anyone can, Dibs.
They're at Utah tonight. Our coverage starts at 4:30. Damon Bruce and Kerry Keating. Catch it all on 102.9 KBLX, our sister station, because here on the mothership, we've got football. Thursday night football, the Raiders at Kansas City. Bill Romanowski says this game is gigantic, okay?
This is the biggest game the Raiders have had since 2002. I tell you, it may be as big as any of the playoff games we had in 2002.
Is he right, Loneil? Biggest game since 2002?
Of course. Look at this. Both these teams are fighting for a first place and a bye as well. I like this game. I like it a lot. It's the biggest game since 2002, no question. Bill's spot on it.
Our coverage starts at noon. Greg Papa from Kansas City, Bonte Hill live from Pick 6 Sports Lounge, then Townie and Romo take over at 3 with the opening drive. Story number 3, the Sharks lose to Ottawa 4-2 despite outshooting the Senators 37-17. Brent Burns and Logan Couture with the goals. The update brought to you by Dolan's Lumber Doors and Windows. Find lower prices, better service, and higher quality at Dolan's. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Raiders. Thursday night football tonight from Kansas City right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs.
Thank you.
Get a load. Well, no, I thank you. Then you say you're welcome.
No.
You don't thank me back.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, thank you for saying thank you.
No one asked you.
You're so mean to me.
Why don't you take an update off, Lo?
Hope y'all go to hell. Okay. Listen, WP!
There we go.
Listen to this resume and tell me if it's our next guest or if it's me. Super Bowl MVP, 6-time Pro Bowler, 1985 NFL MVP, Heisman Trophy winner, and NFL Hall of Famer. Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Allen joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Marcus. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, and it's a treat to have you on, especially today. Biggest game of the season for both these teams. It could possibly be the biggest game the NFL will see over the final month of the season, given all that's at stake. You've played on both sides of the equation. How do you think these players are heading into tonight? Mentally, emotionally, what would Marcus Allen be thinking entering this type of game?
Well, it's the playoffs, especially for the AFC West. I mean, this is, who's going to reign supreme at the top of the division. I think it's going to be a great game, guys. The Raiders are facing a steep challenge, though, going into Kansas City. It is one of the toughest places to play. The fan base there is outstanding, and they're going to make a lot of noise. So we're going to see if the Raiders continue to ascend. They've been playing great. you know, I love them offensively. Defensively, they have to tighten up a few things. And on the other side of the ball, Kansas City is just, boy, they've been on a roll. They just continue to win. There was a big win against Denver. So this is, you know, this is what we want. You know, I always felt that when the Raiders play well and the Chiefs play well, the league is better. And now we have exactly what we want, two of the great franchises in football playing it great at the same time.
Marcus, you must be pretty fired up for you to be up this early in the morning. I'm really surprised, bro. Really surprised.
Man, you know I soar with the Eagles, man. What are you talking about?
Hey,
I'm up early, man. I was born early.
Hey, that's true. That's true, brother. I know you are. You're the hardest man, working man in showbiz. Hey, when you think about this team and you're talking about the Raiders, that is, last year, I know you came on the show and I was under the same impression that Latavius ran a little high. Now, have you seen a little improvement? Seemed like to see the guy run a little harder. And how about this offensive line? How big is this running game tonight for both these teams? And who do you think has the edge there?
Well, I think the running game is going to be critical for the Raiders because, you know, I guess getting Houston back, they certainly have improved their pass rush. So, I mean, you're going to have to neutralize them. And what they've done over the course of the year with the unbalanced front, I think, is surprise a lot of teams, and I think that's what they're going to have to continue to do. I think Murray's going to have a big game. Just going into Kansas City with the crowd noise and you know, having to deal with the at the line of scrimmage, whether you can hear or not, the cadence, it's going to be a challenge. So the running game is going to be very, very important.
How much will they be affected by the fact that Derek Carr may not be able to take snaps under center because of the dislocated pinky? Does that neutralize a lot of what the Raiders are trying to do on the ground?
Well, it may. I mean, they really haven't been one-dimensional. I mean, I think they've showed a lot of versatility out of every formation. But it certainly, when you line up in one formation the entire game, you certainly are limited with the things that you can do. And teams scout very well, so that may be a factor. But we'll have to wait and see.
The Hall of Famer, Marcus Allen, with Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. As you look at the landscape of the AFC, the Patriots, the Raiders, the Chiefs, the Broncos play great defense. Baltimore and Pittsburgh can always be tough late in the season. Where would you slot the Raiders right now? Do you think they are the best team in the conference, or do they still have a little bit of work to do?
I think they still have some work to do. A lot will be determined by tonight. You look at the at New England, the loss of Gronkowski is going to be it's tough because he's such a playmaker for that offense. I got to tell you what, I mean, it's great. I mean, the Steelers, it's always the same great organizations, by the way, guys, that are always at the top. And it's nice to see the Raiders back where they belong. Again, I think the league is better when the Raiders are part of the playoff picture. So when you look at the Steelers, they're great. They can put points on the board. Where those teams do struggle a little bit is defense. So whoever plays the best defense down the stretch, I think, guys, will reign supreme.
Marcus, you're a hell of a running back, done it all, you know, for both these teams. And let's talk about the quarterback position. Since Joe mentioned the AFC in general, you have Tom Brady. He's at the head of the table as far as just quarterback play. And then, you know, you got the Carr, Roethlisberger, Joey Flacco, and Alex Smith. How do you rank these quarterbacks in those particular orders? How do you rank those guys?
Well, I don't know how you can rank them in order. I mean, we do know Tom's number one, God, and when you have the resume that he has, it's not even
sure
debatable. But I got to tell you what, and we know what Ben has done. I mean, a Super Bowl winner, and he's just a playmaker. I mean, just keeps plays alive, and they've been victorious there since he's been at the head of that offense. But I just love what Carr's doing. Carr is – he is what school did he go to?
Huh. There you go, baby. Marcus, I love you, baby. Talk to him, Daddy. Talk to him.
I was setting you up there, buddy.
I mean, dogs in the house.
I think you're familiar with that, right? But
sure.
He's been great. I mean, he's gotten better and better. And I was impressed with him his first year, even though they didn't win, the poise that he showed, the ability to make plays, he had a sort of a savviness about him, and he has a little bit of an edge that reminds me a lot of Rich Gannon. You know, I mean, he finds a way to make plays. Let me tell you what, I think it's great. And then Alex Smith, all he does is win.
Sure.
I mean, it's like, I mean, it's great that we have so many fine quarterbacks. I mean, but all he does is win. Guys, I mean, they may have lost, what, one game, but in the last how many they've been just on a roll since last year? I mean, Kansas City, I think, is maybe the winningest team.
He is.
So, I mean, guys, you can't nobody can complain where we are as far as interest is concerned and excitement. I mean, this is where the league wants to be.
And with that being said, Marcus, that's what's kind of leading to my next question. How underrated is Alex Smith? You're talking about all he does is just win. Is the league, and why is that the perception that this guy's just a game manager? I see him being a little bit more than that.
Well, I think he is as well, but I think he is. He does exactly what they ask of him, and as a result, I think he gets, you know, sort of put in that box. But I think Alex can, you know, he can make plays with his arm. He can make plays with his feet. I mean, he can with his legs rather, and he can just do a lot of things out there. And he has the command of his team. More importantly, and I've always said, it's like regardless of what people think of you, what do your teammates think of you? And I know they're confident that he can play, and that's the most important thing. I mean, we like to project certain labels on the people and certain realities on the people, and we give them things that may be sometimes unjustified. But I think he's a winner. I mean, you can't argue with what he's done.
Travis Kelce obviously having a big year at the tight end, and Kansas City a tremendous year. Marcus, you played on both sides of the rivalry. How fierce is the, we'll say, dislike in Kansas City of the Oakland Raiders?
Well, I don't know what, you know, Andy Reid's approach is. I knew Marty Schottenheimer's approach. And he didn't like them. So that week was a greater intensity. It was heightened. It was it was a must-win situation regardless of the records. But so I don't know Andy Reid's approach. I'm clear. I'm sure he wants to win this game because he knows the value of winning and where it would put them in the division and stuff like that. But I mean, as far as the intensity of the rivalry and if he adds to that, I don't know, guys.
Hall of Famer Marcus Allen with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Outside of this game tonight, one of the stories we'll be focusing on today is what's happening in Carolina with Cam Newton. Over the weekend, he was suspended for the first play of the game Sunday night at Seattle. It was a dress code infraction. Yesterday, a report comes out that Newton was told in advance by head coach Ron Rivera that if he didn't wear a tie, he would be suspended. And he went ahead and didn't wear the tie anyway, despite the advance warning. How big of a problem is that going to be in the Carolina locker room?
Well, you wonder why, if that was the case, why did he do what he did? I don't know, guys. I'm not close to that situation down there. I'm not familiar with other than what you just told me. I find it interesting now, but I don't know enough about it to comment it. But it certainly would fracture the locker room if one of your players and your top player is in a sense almost revolting. I guess, you know, not listening to the head coach. And Ron Rivera is a great guy. I find that sort of disturbing. So I really don't know, guys.
If you were in a locker room and something like that happened, given how successful you were throughout your career as a leader, both on the field and in the community, how would you respond to something like that if that's what your quarterback had done?
You, first of all, you have to do what he did, and maybe go a little bit further, because if your main player gets away with that, every other player is watching. You have to treat, even though you, and Lowe knows this, that, you know, there's certain players, you know, the old story, when there was a rookie that fell asleep in a meeting and Jimmy Johnson said, wake him up and tell him to turn in his playbook.
Sure.
But when Emmitt Smith fell asleep, he said, tell Emmitt to wake up and pay attention. you know what I mean, guys? So you guys, they get treated differently, but at the same time, you have to show some discipline. And you have to show that you're even-handed in your in that discipline as well. So, you know, how I would handle it, I probably would have done the same thing.
Now, Marcus, you're working with Kay Jewelers this holiday season. They're not only recognizing their 100th anniversary this year, but they're also celebrating their 18th year partnering with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, guys, Kay Jewelers is the number one jewelry store in America and the official jewelry store of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And as you mentioned, yes, their 100th anniversary. Guys, this holiday season, Kay is introducing a new fun way for you to support that great organization. All you have to do is sing this famous jingle, "Every Kiss Begins with Kay."
Nice, Marcus.
All right.
Pitch perfect, even at this hour.
So join me and visit Kay Jewelers on Facebook or Twitter and post a video where you are singing the jingle using the hashtag SingForSt.Jude Donation. For every video posted, a $100 donation will be made to St. Jude, up to $50,000 total, guys.
Wow.
Now, Lo?
Yes.
I want you to sing with me, right? And then I want you to post it.
Okay, Marcus, whatever
All right.
you want.
All right.
She's getting the camera
now,
out.
Do you want to sing in unison or do you want to like harmonize? What do you want to do?
You know what, Marcus? Whatever. are we
so
going to sing? Are we going to sing? It never really mattered too much to me.
Oh my God!
That she was too damn old for me. Matter what she was my girlfriend.
I was going to say that you're going to sing so low that nobody can hear you, but that you actually have a good voice. So okay, on a count of three. 1, 2. Three.
Every kiss begins with K.
You're kind of flat.
That was Dibbers. That was Dibbers jumping. We had some extra guys, Marcus.
You want to pull a little higher version to it? Every kiss begins with K.
Oh, Marcus, go ahead, baby.
He did that thing.
Marcus, you just opened up a can of worms. This guy's going to be singing all day.
It's a good can of worms. I'm glad I opened it up. I want you guys to post a video singing it, because you
Every
know it's a worthy cause. You guys know the St. Jude Children's
yes.
Hospital is awesome, guys.
It is.
So this is for holiday season. This is something that not only we can do for them, we're doing for ourselves as well. So, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, he's in the Hall of Fame, but you'll probably catch him on America's Got Talent next. Marcus Allen with Joe
Lowe and
Dibbs.
Begins with K.
Dang, it's
nice,
good.
Marcus.
Thank
Drop
you for
mic,
your
baby.
Time, Marcus. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Anytime. Talk to you later.
How about it? How about Woo. It with Marcus Allen? I didn't realize... this was going to be an episode of American Idol.
I know.
Is that show still on?
No. I think it actually went off the air. Now they have The Voice and other such shows that I would never be able to make it on. I was trying to help you out.
Dibbs,
there,
you are Wheel of Fortune.
I got
Your
no voice.
Game show guy, Dibbs.
Dibbs, you do. You do. You got vocals. Your wife's got vocal, too.
Look, she can sing. She's got mad tone.
Yeah.
I got nothing, kid.
Jody's got a little vocal, too, every now and then. When Jody hits
No,
fire,
not at all.
You
People
Anna,
don't even like my radio voice. I can't. What do you mean singing?
Oh, my God. You and Anna had your rap. Had a little going on.
That was rapping.
That's a whole other ballgame.
You sang, too. I've heard you sing before.
You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and move past you. I just got to move past you here. I'm going to go ahead and throw a football question at you. You
Please
ready for
do.
That?
I think I can handle that one.
All right. Here, locally, we spend a lot of time naturally focused on Derek Carr.
Sure.
His maturation, his progress both on and off the field, the fact that he is a legitimate, bona fide MVP candidate this season. What we don't talk about as much is Alex Smith. Alex Smith, commonly referred to as a game manager, but in reality, how many quarterbacks in the NFL would you take over him? Would you build a franchise around him? Is he just a game manager? You have played with so many different quarterbacks. You play with Breeze and Rivers. You play with the Black Knight, Achilles Smith. You've been on both ends of the spectrum. Alex Smith, what do you see?
I see a guy that people, for some reason, I think because of his tenure here in San Francisco, the revolving doors of head coaches and offensive coordinators, he's got a black eye. And is it rightfully so? No. I mean, I when I look at my quarterbacks, you look at Tom Brady, let you know he's at the top of the food chain. Drew Brees, Big Ben, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and then athletically Cam Newton, Luck, Carr. And then I got Flacco and Alex Smith right around the same. You flip a coin with Alex Smith and Joey Flacco. Yeah.
Are these low quarterback rankings? Is that what you were just throwing out there?
Absolutely. Okay. So, and you look at that, I don't have him in the tier with the redhead pistol. I'll take him any day over there. Andy Dalton, the redhead pistol. I'll take him over the other quarterbacks, you know, around the league. So there's only about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe I got like 8 quarterbacks above him, 8 to 10.
Consider this. All quarterbacks I'm about to throw at you, their age is roughly the same.
I don't want to hear the comeback with the, well, he's a lot older at the end of his career. Forget about that. I'll just throw two quarterbacks at you, and you tell me which one you'd rather build a franchise around. Assuming the age thing and the amount of seasons left is similar. Got me?
Okay.
So, like, if I would throw Tom Brady out there, the comeback doesn't need to be, well, he's only got a couple years left. You would obviously choose Tom Brady over Alex Smith.
Right.
Alex Smith, Andy Dalton, who would you rather build around?
Alex Smith.
Okay. Alex Smith, I don't even know why I bothered
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith, Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill?
Tannehill.
Tannehill? Yeah. Kick him out. Give me Alex Smith.
You'd rather go with Alex Smith?
I would. Even though he has a long, bigger arm.
All right.
I'd go with Alex Smith.
Alex Smith or Joe Flacco?
I'm taking Alex.
I can see that. Flacco had one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback runs in the postseason of all time. It's him and there's a Montana run. That's it. Those two stand at the top of the mountain in terms of quarterback play in the postseason for one stretch. But you also get all the other Joe Flacco with it. Where are you leaning there?
Well, I would lean toward Flacco. The one I want to ask you about is Phillip Rivers, because I don't think you had him in your top eight.
He loves Phillip.
Would you take Phillip, your buddy Phillip, or would you take Alex?
I would take Phillip.
You take Phillip on that one?
Yeah, I take Phillip. Phillip is going to always put you in a chance to win a game. Alex, if you're down by 14 or 21, I just don't know if he can sit back in the pocket and he has to throw 50, 60 times a game. Can he do it?
Yeah.
Yes, but can he be efficient and do it? I don't think so. He's the type of guy I need to compliment on. He's a good quarterback. Phillip Rivers, you give him no weapons, and this guy, I mean, he's like MacGyver. He can, you know, make a canoe out of a pencil. Look what he's got down there, and he still can find a way.
A canoe out of a pencil.
He can do it. MacGyver could definitely do that.
I believe that show's coming back, too, because yet again, like I've said for a while, Hollywood is out of ideas. So let's just bring back MacGyver.
MacGyver was good, Joe.
Yeah, it was good when it came out originally. Now it's just going to be some Friday night garbage rip-off idea. You don't need to bring back MacGyver. Let it stand on its own. You don't need to bring back Lethal Weapon.
But you're a guy who likes Star Wars and it keeps coming out.
Why do you keep saying that? I don't like Star Wars. I've seen them. I don't go line up like the nerd producer standing up right now staring at you.
Nerd.
I'm not going to go line up on day one. I've seen those movies. Seen them.
Yeah. So
Now back to the quarterback thing. So, you can't ever ask him about Rivers because they love each other.
Yeah.
You can't ask him about Breeze because Breeze wrote about him in his book. And you can't ask him about Brady because Brady's family will call up and yell at him if he says anything negative. Well, so you got to take those three out of the equation. That's how it works with this guy.
Let me throw a wild card in there. If you were looking low, if you needed a quarterback next year and both Alex Smith and Tony Romo were available, who would you take, Alex Smith or Tony Romo?
Well, and that's a great question.
He's buying time.
No, because my answer is this. If both those guys today and I had to take one, I'm taking Alex Smith. You know why, Joe? He gives me more consistency and anything, and not just that, he's more durable. That's what scares me about Tony Romo. It's not that Tony Romo could throw the ball down and feel a little bit more mobile, can do a little bit more than Alex Smith. I like him. I think he's a little bit better quarterback. But if you ask me who to take out of those two, I'm taking Alex Smith, Joe. And I think you would too, Coach.
It's a very intriguing question. My one hang-up with Smith. Look, I know Smith's going to lead on and off the field. I know he's going to stay out of trouble. I know he's going to be a guy that gets along with everybody in the locker room. I know he's going to work hard. I know he's going to make plays, and he's going to make smart decisions. There's a lot to like there. The one thing I don't like about Smith, and this is what I can't get over, there's got to be a little bit, at the very least a little bit, of gunslinging gambler to your game. To win as a quarterback in the NFL, to go all the way. Now, if I want to win 10 games every year and compete for the playoffs, Alex is perfect.
Right.
He's never going to let you have a 3-win season, all right? But if you want to win the Super Bowl, you've got to have a little bit of gambler gunslinger in there. All the greats who go all the way are able to do that. Alex is the guy who too often on 3rd and 8, he's going to throw for 6 yards and say, we'll come back and get him later. And before you know it, you get to the end of the game and you're out of time.
I agree.
That's my biggest concern.
I agree, but here's the thing. If he's in Denver, he wins the Super Bowl last year. If he's in certain situations, he would have won with San Francisco guys if they would have had Ted Ginn, the punt returner. They dropped two of those punts. That cost him a Super Bowl.
Well, he could have gotten to the Super Bowl. Does that mean they would have won the Super Bowl? He still would have needed to make some plays in that game.
And he showed you, though, in that you're talking about gunslinger, he showed you that hitting Vernon Davis, he drove him down that winning drive against the Saints. He's shown you that he can't do it, though, Joe.
All right, we're going to take this question to Barry Sims, 12-year NFL vet. He played for the Raiders. He played for the Niners. He's weighing in on that and so much more next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool. And
I see the meatball outside after school.
When a couple of guys who were up to no good.
Dang.
Started making trouble in my neighborhood.
Go ahead.
Hall of Famer Tim Brown previews Raiders and Chiefs coming up at 9:15. Now, back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Two nuggets before we get to Barry Sims here. Number one, I hate to tell you this, Raider fans, don't read too into it, but the money is pouring in on Kansas City in Las Vegas as we speak. All the books got hit at the same time. Kansas City -3 has very quickly become Kansas City -3.5. We'll keep an eye on that for you because I know everyone's on the edge of their seat to know what's going on with all the information in Las Vegas. Some sort of information surface. Number two, for all of you on the text line, and there are a lot of you, talking about how it's Ryan Tannehill, not Tannehan. Welcome to the morning show with Joe Lou and Nibs on 95.7 The Game. That is an inside joke. We yes. refer to him as Tannehan, not Tannehill.
It's true.
Just a little inside joke. We can go back to Tannehill if you like.
I like Tannehill.
It's like, how
no
often
chance.
We get
no
we're sticking with Tannehan?
Tannehan.
All right, so that's the official
that
announcement. It will be Tannehan moving forward. Even if he has a problem with it himself, too bad. Change the ID. Tannehan. Very happy to go to the phones. Barry Sims, 12-year NFL vet. He played for both your Oakland Raiders and the San Francisco 49ers. He's joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Barry, here we are. The AFC West hangs in the balance. It's Raiders. It's Chiefs. It's Thursday night football. If you're in that locker room in the next few hours getting ready for this game, what is going through your body? What kind of emotions are you experiencing?
Oh, hey, good morning. Good to be here. Like any big game, man. You're just trying to focus. You got the tinglies going on throughout your body and just trying to stay rested and looking forward to the night game. And it's always a great game between the Chiefs and the Raiders.
What are you looking for tonight mostly? If the Raiders do what offensively, that they have a chance, what is that number in your head Raiders need to get to make sure they can win this game?
Well, I think first and foremost, offensively is just take care of the football. I mean, that's always – rule number one, especially going on the road. I'd like to see him run the ball well. I know it's going to be a cold over there. So I always like to see them run the ball, get Latavius Murray and those guys going. It really opens up the passing game for everybody.
How much tougher will it be to run the ball if Derek Carr is unable to be under center, if he has to take all his snaps from the pistol or the shotgun?
I don't think that's really too big an issue. I mean, they have formations and plays where they can run the ball out of shotgun. Even the little short passes are the same as running plays. So, I think that won't be an issue.
What have you seen from Kansas City to make this team, it's that lethargic of go about it. You look up and they won again. Here it is, another win. What makes this team so competitive and so deadly and just consistent?
Well, I think they, over the last few years, they've built up a confidence with themselves being successful and going to the playoffs. So, I think that, they're riding their own confidence. So I think that makes them special and dangerous as well. And, like I've been telling everybody for years, Alex Smith is a really, really good quarterback. And a lot of people don't listen, but, he does a good job of taking care of the situations, and when they need to go for it, he gets it done that way. Or if they just need to control the ball, he can do that way as well. So, it'll be a great game. I think I think the Raider team is better than they were the first time we matched up against them, especially defensively. So I'm looking forward to tonight, and hopefully we can bounce back and do what they did to us. It's the first time we played them.
Barry Sims, 12-year NFL veteran. He played for both the Raiders and the Niners, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. for the Raiders offensive line, what are some of the secrets they'll go through tonight to combat the Arrowhead crowd noise? As an O-lineman in enemy territory, loud primetime game, how do you communicate with one another?
Well, I think, the first thing is the silent count, making sure everybody's on the same page with that. And they've done a really good job with that. Obviously, being undefeated on the road this year. I think other than that, really just, if they just continue to play their game, they'll take the crowd out of it and should be fine.
Alex Smith, under center for Kansas City, he's been given the tag as game manager throughout his career. Is there more to it than Alex Smith? Is he showing that he is now a legitimate quarterback who can lead a team deep into the playoffs?
I think, for sure, just with his experience and with his, the ability for him to not turn the ball over really helps. You know, obviously they have the defense that can have a quarterback like him, or just managing the game is really all they're really looking for. They're not looking for him to carry the team by himself. And so I think that's where, he's able to thrive in that situation, where he's just another cog in the wheel for that team and really just keeping people from making too big of mistakes. I think that's what he tries to do at the quarterback position.
Barry Sims with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Are the Raiders good enough to win the AFC?
I think, it's yet to be seen. Obviously, we've got a good enough record to say we can play with anybody. It's just a matter of doing it, that's kind of always the hardest part is on paper, sure, on paper, yeah, but when it comes time to playing in that game, when it matters most, will they be able to do it? And we'll have to find out and see.
12-year NFL vet. He played for both the Raiders and the Niners. Barry Sims with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Barry, thanks a lot for spending some time with us today. We appreciate it, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the road.
Yeah, anytime, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Barry Sims, ladies and gentlemen. Offensive lineman, man. Guys like that, around 12 years, never get the recognition they deserve. But you go back and you look at that tape, you look at the resume, you look at everything he achieved. That's a guy who played a long time. You're not in the league 12 years by luck. By chance, you know what I'm saying?
No, and that's what they're going to do, Joe. You'll see the guard and usually the tackle today, hold hands, and almost like they're getting ready to sing Kumbaya because they want to make sure that they're on the same page. You'll see the guard go ahead and slap the center's leg. Now he's going to put his head down, bring it back up. They might have a double count. Do it then, and usually they snap the ball. Defense is watching the center's head go down, and usually they get the jump. You do it a couple times, and all of a sudden his head goes down. He's not snapping. He pops it back up. Boom, you get an offsides every now and then, get the defense to encroach. And then when you said, okay, second tap, boom, hit it again, second tap. Now, center's going to snap the ball. Guard lets the tackle's hand go because of the loud noise, and then he knows to react.
If Carr doesn't get under center tonight because of the pinky finger, like we saw in the Buffalo game where everything was out of the shotgun, and he has to do that again tonight, how much does the crowd noise affect the communication between him and the center if he's not that close to him?
Most of the time, Joe, it's pretty much a silent count. You'll hear the lineman will make that count. They'll make that call. So what Carr will do is like, ready, set. And then the guard, like I said, is holding the tackle's hand. He hits the center. Center knows, okay, ready to go. Center looks up, puts his head back down, and he'll snap. They're going to go and react, and a lot of it's going to be react because it gets so loud in there, sometimes the quarterback can bark numbers and can't even hear anything.
So he's back there just doing a whole bunch of hollering.
Exactly.
But outside of possibly changing the protection scheme or maybe the play in general, when that ball snapped, that's on the determination of Rodney Hudson.
Absolutely. So Rodney's got a big, big, big task tonight, and you'll see Carr, though, sometimes walk up, and he's going to point out the mic because he's going to have to walk up there and say, hey, Rodney, there's the mic, 52, point to the left or point to the right. And then the lineman got to echo that because it's going to be loud in there, Joe.
What about a couple Omaha calls?
Omaha. Go ahead. Absolutely.
Anyone ever figure out what the heck that even meant? Is that just one of his great secrets?
Yeah.
Whatever, Manning, beat it. I think Egg Shoe, beat it.
He was a fan of...
The division's not yours anymore, buddy.
Nah, you're gone. But his call remains. You've got...
Omaha!
Simeon makes the call, yeah. And my boy Keon, my son, always notices that. Daddy, he's saying Omaha.
Whoever this guy is, the slapstick...
There it is.
But, he's still got all his commercials. We still see him quite a bit on TV.
By the way, Barry Sims' last game in the NFL was Jim Tomsula's brightest moment as interim coach when he got to 1-0 for his career.
Jim Sula.
Yep. Tommy T.
That was Barry's last game.
What do you think he's doing right now?
He's fishing, enjoying life. The guys, hey, the guy's a – you know what? He's a good piece. I mean, he's a great offensive line, defensive line coach. The guy gets guys to play for him. If he wants to come back in the league, he'll have a job. Right now, just collect the money. He's a good coach, man. He's a good D-line coach.
Worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Worked out pretty well. Old Tom Sula.
We laugh about him, but think about how he had that defensive line plan.
But
he had the defensive when he was
laughing because I'm essentially crying on the inside.
Yeah, but when he was in his box, Jimmy T did good. And you put him at head coach, it was a little different story. But,
all right, coach. Thanks, coach.
Just letting you know.
All right, here's how this is going to work next. We got Dead and Company.
Dead and Company.
Tickets to give away. Dead and Company tickets to give away, as well as the big board game analogy for the Golden State Warriors. Now, it may sound stupid at first. It may sound stupid at second. It'll probably sound stupid at third, but it'll get some conversation going. Some interesting factoids next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
Will the winner of Chiefs and Raiders represent the AFC in the Super Bowl? Bill Parcells joins us coming up at 9:30. Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the show with the best information in the Bay Area. It's Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The people love that. Hilarious impression.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I know we've got information. Information about the Golden State Warriors.
Nobody has this information.
Nobody. It's the greatest information I've ever seen in 200 years on this planet Earth. 888-957-9570 for the information. All right. Dead and Company tickets to give away, and then we're loaded for the next hour and 15 minutes.
Loaded.
Maybe I should get the sheet that says how loaded we are and tell people about it. At 9, Travis Schlenk, Golden State Warriors assistant general manager. At 9:15, some dude named Tim Brown, NFL Hall of Famer, 9-time Pro Bowler, our second Heisman Trophy winner of the day. Right after that, we're going to keep it rolling at 9:30, Bill Parcells, the Tuna. The Tuna, 2-time Super Bowl champ. Lo, you played for Parcells, right?
Absolutely.
He had great information, didn't he?
You know he did. Loves some horses, too. Loves the ponies, Joe. He loves the ponies.
Yeah, I heard about that. You know who else? Mike Tice, offensive line coach for the Raiders like 3 years ago, hit the pick six at either Del Mar or Santa Anita. I'm not positive, but he hit the pick six.
That's a great
He knows
day.
His ponies.
Great payout, I imagine that.
He had information.
That's a good hit.
All right, trivia question, 888-957-9570 for 2 tickets to see Dead and Company. They're going to be at Shoreline Amphitheater, and you will get to pick the show. It's either Saturday, June 3rd, or Sunday, June 4th. Your call. Tickets on sale tomorrow, Friday, December 9th, at noon, LiveNation.com, LiveNation.com. Tonight's game will be the 116th meeting between the Raiders and the Chiefs. How many of those games ended in a shutout? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Tonight's game will be the 116th meeting between the Raiders and Chiefs. How many of those games have ended in a shutout?
I like this question. I like it a lot, Joe.
I don't even know. 116 meetings.
Yeah, and this goes back to when before the Chiefs were the Chiefs, and then they joined the Raiders, AFL, 116 times. How many games have ended in a shutout? Spoiler alert, it's not 116.
Yeah, there were a couple that didn't end in a shutout. It's up to you to figure out how many of those did not. It could be one, it could be two that didn't end in a shutout.
It's not 116, and it's not zero. And shout out to Jacob, our board up with a great question here. Appreciate that.
Somewhere in between.
Nailing it. Killing it.
Was it put on the Google document in fuchsia blue?
Yes, it was, actually.
Take the people behind the scenes a little bit. Our producer who puts together this Google show sheet, every paragraph's in a different color.
Right.
You can't even read the thing. It's reading rainbow in there.
It's absolutely reading rainbow. This is actually, the color is light cornflower blue, too.
That's an actual color?
Not light cornflower blue, but light cornflower blue, too, the sequel.
So if any of you would like to be invited into our Google document to find great information, information on this show, how we do this show, look for the cornflake blue number 2. That will take you to the trivia question, which might include the answer as well. All right. So let me lay out a scenario for you. You're on the road. You're playing one of the best teams in your conference. They've been off for a couple nights, so mentally and physically, they're ready for you. Your star player goes 0 for 8 from deep. Your high-priced acquisition scores his second lowest point total of the season. And you win by 17 points. Dibs, 17 points. I mean, that was, by all accounts, a Warrior game that wasn't up to the normal standards that this team has put out there. Yet, sure enough, the Dubs railroaded the Clippers in the first quarter, and they pretty much put it on them all night and won by 17.
Yeah, the Clippers were sloppy early, a lot of turnovers. The Warriors' defense was really solid in the half court. And the matchup of Draymond Green against Blake Griffin went decidedly to Draymond Green. Blake, 5 of 20 from the floor with 7 turnovers. The thing I like about Draymond Green, watching him defend guys who oftentimes are bigger, sometimes even stronger, is he has a great knack to defend without fouling. And he did that again last night. Tough defense on Blake Griffin. Blake would go shoulder into his chest, back him down, and when Blake was turning to shoot, Draymond goes arms straight up and down, so there's no chance of a foul being called against him.
Low, it was a win. Another win. But tonight, the team has to turn around late. They have to head to Utah, an elevation of over 4,200 feet in Salt Lake City, and they've got to get ready for a rested Jazz team. How do you think Kerr approaches this game tonight?
Tough spot, but I think he talks to the guys and say, hey, guys, great job. After the game, he said, guys, that was a big win for us. It's a big win in a lot of ways. KD plays 33 minutes. Guys don't play a lot of minutes. He's still able to rest guys in the fourth quarter. So I think that he tells these guys, hey, look, and today it's like, guys, it's just continue to do what we're doing. Let's trust our process. Let's go out there, move the ball around, start off doing what we do. So does Denver have the advantage? Yes. Elevation, all those different things that go around. But you're playing against the Dubs. You're playing against the teams, for heaven's sakes, that got an MVP, two-time MVP. You got KD, who was MVP. You got Draymond Green. You got a lot of players. And the bench is continuing to evolve, Joe. Iguodala's playing even more minutes. Look at what Iggy's starting to do. And a lot of these guys, McGee and all the other guys. So I look at this team now, Joe. They're starting to get their sea legs under them. They're starting to gel, playing better defense. So, yeah, it's a tough spot, but hey, it's the Warriors.
You know what I'm seeing?
Tell me.
This team is a game of Monopoly. That's what they are. This roster is a game of Monopoly. I was thinking about this last night. Had a couple martinis. So bear with me on this one if it makes any sense. The most important property in Monopoly are the orange properties. Now, this is not debatable. So if you want to call in or text in and say, Joe, you're wrong, it's red, you're wrong. The data points to the orange. Number one, red. Number two, green. Number three. Green number three because they have the highest return on investment. But it takes a while to build those properties up. What the Warriors essentially are this season, Steph Curry is your orange property. Kevin Durant is your red property. Klay Thompson are the yellows, Marvin Gardens, we all know it and love it. And Draymond Green's the green property. And what I mean by that is you've got to roll dice to get all the way around more than a quarter of the board to survive this team. Last night, the orange property went 0 for 8 from three-point range. Just the second time in a few years that Steph Curry has not recorded a three-pointer in a game. Wasn't a great game for Steph. So you rolled past the orange property. Then came the red properties. Kevin Durant, 16 points, second lowest point total of the season. Guys averaging more points than anyone else on the team, second lowest total of the season. You roll past the red property, but then you hit Klay Thompson on the yellows. He had another big night. Then you hit Draymond Green on the green properties. He had another big night. And the next thing you know, you lost by 17 points. How are you going to roll past all those properties four times in seven games in the playoffs? That's the big question for me. Right now, every now and again, you're going to have a team that beats them. It's the regular season. But how are you going to roll past orange, red, yellow, and green four times in seven games?
It's brutal. It's brutal to think about. And there's only so many safe spaces in there. Free parking. You got a couple railroads, a couple utilities.
Waterworks, Dibs.
Yeah, Waterworks is in there.
And Petrolia.
Well, the electric company is a little further on. But you got Community Chest and Chance, or as we would say in our house, Chance. Like the old chia, but it's a gauntlet, Joe. It's a murderer's row to get all the way from the oranges through the greens. It's tough to do.
That's what they become, Lo.
Yeah.
That's what they become. Last night, the Clippers rolled past orange and red, but they hit yellow and green. And before you know it, you got knocked out. I know it sounds crazy as an analogy, but that's the way I see it right now. They're a game of Monopoly. I think the NBA in general is a game of Monopoly. I think the Warriors own multiple monopolies. I think the Cavs own multiple monopolies. And then you've got the Spurs in there. They've got one. They've got the Purples. They're hoping the two big ones knock each other out so they can scoop up some extra properties and try to get into it. And that's pretty much it. Houston might be in there with Baltic Avenue. James Harden, he sounds like Baltic Avenue.
Yeah.
You got some other players that might be in there with Oriental and Vermont and Connecticut. But bottom line, that's the NBA. It's a game of Monopoly. You're just trying to avoid the Cavs and avoid the Warriors, but you're going to get caught because there's only so many places you can hide.
Hey, you're right. And then when you look at the Cavs have that real estate. They're saying, we ain't going to sell our land. And what they do is they're going to bank that their guys are going to be in shape, and they understand they know how to play that, move the ball around. They're kind of the same, and the Warriors, they do the same type of thing in that regard. And they try to pride on defense. You've got a team that, you know, that plays defense. You know, Tristan Thompson, a guy could go in there and bang with anyone who's a consistent board, you know. And then you see what they're doing. Kyrie Irving, you look at Kyrie, what he does, him and Steph, you know, he's probably got just as good as handles, probably just as quick, probably a little quicker than Steph. So you still got guys. So they understand their monopoly is hold on to what we got. Because the Warriors, like you alluded to, they have so many weapons. You get past the orange, get past the red. It's just amazing what the Warriors have been able to put together. Pretty much assemble an all-star team, guys. An all-star team, coach. An all-star team.
Stephen Hayward, congratulations. You won the Dead & Company ticket. Stephen Hayward, the answer was 5 in 115 meetings. Tonight's the 116th. Of the 115 meetings between the Raiders and Chiefs, 5 have ended in a shutout. It's not much of a stretch to say that I'm probably one of the top 5 Monopoly players in the country. Now, you might think that's a bit boisterous.
It's a humble brag.
It's not humble. My Monopoly game is nasty. Now, quiet with your sound effects.
Sorry.
There are great battleship players, great poker players, great skiers, great surfers. Monopoly's my thing. My Monopoly game is nasty. So I'm going to share a little bit of Monopoly insight with you.
Please,
so that the next
you?
Time you're playing, you've got an extra tip.
Please explain.
The best strategy when building a Monopoly is to leave it at 4 houses and not build the hotel. You might ask why. You want to progress to the hotel. You can get the most return. Wrong. You leave 4 houses because the game only has so many houses. And once they're all gone, nobody else can acquire them. So if you're playing a 4-man game and you own a couple monopolies, you build them all up to 4 houses, you acquire as many of them as you can, and you keep them away from everyone else. That way, when someone else goes to build their monopoly, they might not have enough houses to get up to the hotel level, and they'll never be able to run you out of business.
That's why I go real estate, buddy.
That is a tip for you. Monopoly, that's serious business. That's not a children's game. This is a game of tycoons, noblemen, Illuminati.
Oh,
that's who plays Monopoly.
Dibs.
You want fun, you go play Sorry. You go play Chutes and Ladders. Go play Candyland.
On behalf of the audience and Lorenzo and Anna and myself, Joe, thank you, and God bless you for imparting your wisdom yet again.
I mean,
listen to this. 510. Joe, you're an idiot. Ever heard of Boardwalk and Park Place? Monopoly game nasty? Nope. Boardwalk and Park Place? That's fool's gold. That's Cam Newton. That's fool's gold back there. First of all, it's only 2 properties of a 3-property monopoly. Second of all, you've got 2 what are referred to as sinks that can funnel people away from you. Go to jail. We'll send them all the way to the other side of the board. Free parking is right down there, too, depending on how you play. All right? Think about that. That's why orange is so valuable. You've got all these people getting funneled to jail who have to come right out and right into your property. That's why orange is number 1.
Please, text line. Please, someone out there has got to be a better Monopoly player than
Joe. There might be 2. I told you I'm top 3. There might be 2 people in the world that could take me down at Monopoly. Of course, it's a game of chance, and at times I might not be able to rack up the properties. But you give me at least a little bit of leverage. Oh, it's over, son. It's over.
I guarantee you, if my husband is listening right now, he's ready to take you on right now.
Paul can work his way through the minors, and maybe if I respect his game enough, I'll invite him into a big boy game. Your boy used to put him in the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.